looked at the stats of Juju Film. Are you shocked by the fact that you guys didn't score much more in Buffalo?
No, not really. Not really. I mean, you've got to finish drives, and you got to come up with plays at the crucial time. You got to score in the red zone. You can't turn the football over. But I've been in games like this before. But the encouraging thing is, you move the football. You ran the football well. You threw the football well. So you look at the positives, and you go back and you look at film with the team, and you go over why you didn't score those points. And when you have that type of yardage and you win the football game, it's always a positive. If you lose a game like that, and you're kicking yourself for weeks at a time, letting one skip away, especially on the road. So it was a nice drive at the end of the game. Obviously, special teams came up and made a big play at the end. Jason, obviously, making that clutch field goal. But those are the ones you hope you can sneak away with a win, still do some good things, and still look back and correct mistakes.
Mike, as a guy who's been around this rivalry for a long time on both sides of the ball, years ago there was a genuine hate between these two franchises. Is this just a big division game, or is that animosity still there?
Well, people have different terms for the type of rivalry we have, but there's a lot of respect. I mean, you take a look at the Raiders, and I take a look at the team last year that was third in the National Football League. 150 yards a game hadn't been done since 1991 with pass defense and an offense that struggled throughout the year. I mean, how do you end up third in the National Football League on defense when your offense can't stay on the field? This is a much different Raider team. You take a look at the offense, you take a look at preseason, you take a look at their concepts, and they're playing much better. They lost the game that they were down 17-0, but they turned the ball over to 13, 23, and 33-yard line, and there's 17 points like that, and they were a strong enough team to come back with 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and they're ahead 21-20. So, and Detroit's a much-improved team as well. So when you take a look at, sometimes the speculation of a team that went 2-14, it doesn't always coincide with the defense. It was third in the National Football League, setting all these records when an offense couldn't stay on the field. So that's amazing in itself. So our football team understands that. They know the job that we have at hand, and hopefully we practice and play accordingly.
With as good as their defense was last year, how surprised were you that they just gave it up consistently throughout the entire game against the Lions? A good offense. But...
Well, like I said, is that sometimes when you're putting in a new offense, there's turnovers. And when there's turnovers, you get three turnovers and early, and you're down 17-0 and 17, and there's drives at 13, 23, and 33, and they come back, that's pretty impressive. So you got to look at the whole game. You just can't take a look at the stats, and you got to take a look at how a team fights back. And, the Lions are, like I said, are better than people think they are.
Mike, unfortunately, this team has seen a lot of ambulances over the last 9 months. When you heard the update on Everton, that most likely is going to walk again, was that a...
Yeah, you look at that as a miracle. The doctors obviously didn't think there was much of a chance. They went back to previous experiences that they've had with people with the same type of injury. And I just believe, the prayers from people around the country, you believe in miracles, and, that's a miracle for him to have the feeling in his legs and his hands. And I believe through prayer, people actually got it done, because he wasn't supposed to be able to have that feeling this early or have the feeling at all. So I just hope that he continues on the same road and he walks out of that hospital. But everybody was very excited in our locker room when we heard the news today.
Mike, why is this becoming a more prevalent part of the game? It seems like you're seeing it every time somebody gets seriously hurt.
Well, you don't see things like this. I mean, you're talking about life and death. You're talking about paralysis. There's always people that are going to go down. And, that happens every year. You're going to have ankles, you're going to have broken legs, but you're talking about something right there that doesn't happen very often in the National Football League. And when it does, obviously there's a deep concern, not only amongst the teams, but amongst I think, everybody that watches football. And to watch that happen and to see something like that, to me, is a miracle. I feel pretty special when that happens. That's a good question. We have a number of doctors. I cannot tell you if we have a specialist that's at every game or not. but I'm sure most of that work was done at the hospital, but I'm assuming, I'm surely not an expert in that area, but I'll ask Steve to see what we do have. I know since a number of injuries have happened over the last couple of years, not only do we have those people at hand, but they stay at the locker room like 45 minutes to an hour after the game, unless, just in case something does happen, which obviously happened in the San Francisco game. Anything else? Okay, thanks.